Coming up on KUCB News, over $2 million has been returned to the city of Unalaska, and police responded to two overdose calls in Sandpoint over the weekend. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM in Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Wednesday, September 4th, 2019. Over $2.3 million has been returned to the city of Unalaska after a nearly two-month federal investigation of a fraudulent financial request. Between May and July, the city paid out nearly $3 million to a fraudulent bank account as a result of a phishing email scam in which the sender of the email represented themselves as a known vendor and requested a change in payment method.
It was at that point where we recognized that we had been transferring funds that were legitimate in response to legitimate invoices from a known vendor into an account that was not the vendor's account.
That's City Manager Erin Reinders. She says over $630,000 was not returned, but she expects insurance will fully cover the amount. Reinders would not comment on who the legitimate vendor was, but that vendor, according to Reinders, has since been paid the full amount owed.
The FBI has acknowledged that once we did recognize that the funds weren't going, we responded quite quickly, and that really played a big role in the fact that we were able to receive the majority of the funds back.
In a statement, the Federal Bureau of Investigation said fraudulent schemes are increasing in frequency and sophistication. They encourage anyone who thinks they may be a victim of financial fraud to contact the FBI. Unalaska has been involved in at least three federal investigations this year. In addition to the fraud inquiry, investigators are still looking into the Mount Ballyhoo car crash that killed two teenagers in May, as well as the death of a U.S. Coast Guard seaman in January. Last week, another 19-year-old Coast Guardsman was charged with his murder. An Anchorage Superior Court judge has ruled the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services may have falsely conjured an emergency to enact Medicaid payment cuts. The Anchorage Daily News reported this week that a judge ruled a lawsuit against the state raises serious and substantial questions regarding the emergency finding. The Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association's July lawsuit says the department unlawfully declared an emergency to cut Medicaid payments to healthcare providers by up to 7%. Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum issued an emergency finding in June allowing almost immediate rate cuts while circumventing some of the public input process usually required. Crum's finding says the emergency was a result of Governor Mike Dunleavy's 2020 fiscal budget significantly underfunding the Medicaid program. Crum is a Dunleavy appointee. Now that the dust is settling in the budget battle between the governor's administration and legislators, homeless service providers are starting to understand the long-term effects from delayed and reduced public funds. Many of the most dire consequences were avoided, but as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, providers say serious damage has already been done.
Catholic Social Services is one of the main organizations handling homeless issues in Anchorage, and as a case manager with the organization, Mary Abraham is one of its frontline workers.
We go out and meet people where they're at, and we help them become self-sufficient.
Case managers are the Swiss Army knives of the homeless services toolbox. They're like counselors, social workers, and advocates rolled into one, helping their clients navigate all levels of resources, whether it's a bus pass, food stamps, or housing vouchers. But funding cuts from the state have caused Catholic Social Services to eliminate one quarter of its case manager positions. They've had to pull all the caseworkers out of the city's largest homeless shelter. Abraham says in the last few weeks, when she's visited the shelter, the difference is noticeable.
These clients know who I am because I used to work there. So they come to my vehicle. They said, I need to see my case manager. You know, we feel the struggle that they're experiencing, and it's kind of hard.
After Governor Mike Dunleavy's June budget vetoes, there was a lot of attention on people who might lose housing and wind up on the street if the spending cuts went through. In the short term, those dire consequences have largely been avoided by the partial restoration of funding and shifting around grant money.
We thought we were losing the kit and caboodle. We thought we were going to lose a little bit more than $12 million. What ended up coming in was about $1.5 million less than that.
Jasmine Boyle heads the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, and she says the cuts that did go through fall disproportionately on one group of service providers.
It's essentially the shelters that were hit the most heavily.
On top of that, Boyle says shelters are notoriously difficult to fund through private donations.
The cuts that did get enacted hit the people that are sometimes hardest for our community to want to support. And if government won't fund that, I don't see a whole lot of options for alternatives.
Boyle says the impacts of this year's budget skirmish go beyond diminished resources. It's created enormous insecurity among the clients who rely on homeless assistance programs, but also within the organizations themselves, especially the frontline staff. David Rittenberg directs the Brother Francis Shelter, which at 240 beds is the largest overnight shelter in the state. On July 1st, the start of the fiscal year, when funding was still uncertain, Brother Francis had to send out 30-day layoff notices to a number of employees.
Even with some of this funding coming back, we lost a lot of really great case managers when that funding was cut. Even though it's coming back, those individuals that we had already trained, that have already built those relationships with guests, we're starting from scratch there.
Rittenberg and others worry that in the long term, this slice of the nonprofit sector will lose a lot of talent and experience in its workforce as seasoned employees, caseworkers, and managers decide they don't want to deal with the financial instability, especially if the kind of clashes seen this year become an annual part of the state's budget cycle. At one point this summer, with funding still unsolved, Brother Francis was staying open by spending its savings and got close to closing altogether for a few days before reopening at a significantly reduced capacity. Rittenberg says the discussions among staff and clients about who would be prioritized for those beds and who would be turned out were the hardest of his career. In the 11th hour, the municipality stepped in and scraped together several $100,000 to keep the shelter running. Rittenberg's grateful, but says the system in place offers only the most basic safety net.
Right now at the Brother Francis Shelter, we are only providing emergency services.
Brother Francis is hardly the only emergency shelter trying to keep its doors open and sacrificing other programming to do so. 5 of 7 shelters in Anchorage will have to find ways to reduce capacity. Beyond the municipality, shelters in further flung areas and rural hubs are struggling to figure out how to close budget gaps. The Bethel Winter House, for example, is trying to close a $25,000 shortfall before it gets cold. The shaky funding situation will keep many people sheltered who would otherwise be sleeping on the streets, in camps, or in emergency rooms this winter. But Rittenberg says that does not constitute progress.
Case management is the ladder out of poverty. And if we don't have that case management piece, then we're not moving people out. And that's really what we're here to do. You don't end poverty and you don't end homelessness by simply putting people in a warm, safe building. You end homelessness by taking people out of that building and moving them into their own independent housing.
To those who say the state can no longer afford to provide shelter and homeless services, Rittenberg says residents pay for it one way or another, either to nonprofits or else to emergency responders, police departments, and hospitals. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
The Sandpoint Police responded to 2 overdose calls over the weekend, one resulting in the death of a 26-year-old woman from King Cove. On Saturday, officials were dispatched to a Sandpoint home for a report of an unresponsive man who may have overdosed. EMS and police began life-saving efforts, and he was transported by ambulance to the Sandpoint Clinic, where he was then medevaced. Efforts to save his life were successful. Then on Sunday, officials were dispatched to a gear shed near Peter Pan Seafoods for a report of an unresponsive woman who also may have overdosed. Life-saving efforts were performed, and she was transported by ambulance to the clinic where she died. The woman was 26-year-old Raylene Kachutin of King Cove. Officers arrested two men believed to be involved. They are 37-year-old Jeremy Crone and 44-year-old Michael Gunderson, both of Sand Point. They are being held on charges of manslaughter and second-degree misconduct involving a controlled substance. The Sand Point police said in a press release they believe the two incidents are related. The drugs taken were small, blue, 30-milligram counterfeit oxycodone hydrochloride pills, believed to be contaminated with fentanyl. If you have any information, contact the Sand Point Police Department at 383-3700. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.